Shunammite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God, and he gave her a son. While working in the field, the little boy died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testify that all is well. Is that your testimony tonight? And all is well. All is well. We have heard the message long, and all is well. Oh, there behind the inner veil, so rest, little bride, rest, for all is well, and all is well, all is well. We have heard the message alone. All is well. There is a place, a perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. This is 139 in your hymn book. You thankful he abides tonight? I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. With me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides. Everywhere, yes, he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, yes, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides.
water abides with me. And there's no thirsting for the things of this world. They've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at my feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive, yes, it's keeping me alive. That Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, yes, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, I can feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Yes, it's keeping me alive. I can feel it in my soul, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Yes, it's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, yes, it's right here tonight, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's right here tonight, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, yes, it's all over me. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Yes, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. And I can feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. I can feel it in my soul. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, well, he said in his word that he would provide. Oh, that he would provide. That he would provide. He said in his word that he would provide. It's that Holy Ghost that's keeping me alive. Well, it's that Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, I can feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Church, it's keeping me alive. I can feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Lord, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive.
It's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight? Amen. That it's keeping you alive. Praise the Lord. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Sounds like you came to have church this evening. So, amen. That's good. Had a prayer request come in for Brother Jeremy and Sister Lisa and the kids. They're on their way back from South Carolina. So we want to remember them for Traveling Mercies. And also, I think Brother Arnie and Sister Alice traveling back from Liberty. So we want to remember them in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Jimmy, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests tonight?
Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we've gathered around your throne of grace. Father, we've made our petitions known to you. We've raised our hands. But Father, we already know that you're here. Lord, you inhabit the worship of your people. Lord, we ask you just to walk up and down the aisles tonight, Lord. Encourage us, Lord, through and by your word, Father. And Lord, whatever the request may be upon the hearts of your people, Lord, may you grant it. Lord, be with those that are traveling home, Lord. We ask you to just have your hand of mercy upon them, Father. And Lord, just be in the continuance of the service. Be in our praise and our worship, Lord. Father, be with Brother Trevor, Lord. And Lord, whatever he has on his heart, Lord, just, Lord, let it sink deep into our hearts, Lord. Lord, we know it truly comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Treasure Bryant.
Down the road where all the prodigals have walked.
bless you, Sister Treasure. Sure appreciate that. That was wonderful. This is 135 in your handbook. My voice is struggling, but this is where you get to help. Not here to hear me anyway, so you pray for me and sing out unto the Lord.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Oh, then sings my Savior God to sent him to die, I scarce can take it in.
Thank you, Lord.
That all.
Yes, thank you, Lord. He did it for you and me. Thank you, Jesus. All my burdens gladly bearing. Oh, he bled and he died.
Why don't we stand and praise Him, my Savior God.
The name of Jesus. Worthy are you of all praise and honor and glory, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I think as Brother Nathan said many times, it's great to come to the pulpit when every boy, it's an atmosphere like this and everybody's just ready to worship, so man, let's just worship God tonight. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 1. We'll read verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father, we see in this scripture how timeless that you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are, Lord, as we've just sung about it, Lord, how appropriate it is, Lord, as we now consider your vastness and your greatness, Lord, and who you are, Lord, and what that means to us. God, I pray that you'd open our minds to understand. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts. The revelation of what we're going to speak on tonight would become so clear, Lord, and that it would be that foundation that we spoke on last time, that the gates of hell can't prevail against it, because it's something that's been revealed from the throne of God and can never be taken away. And though the devil would like to make us doubt, he'd never succeed, Lord. So, Father, bring that revelation. Give us more faith tonight. We look to you now, Lord. Come and anoint us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. So I decided to omit the questions tonight, going over the questions. So if anybody has any questions on those, does anybody have any questions on the questions that they had in their assignments? Because if you do, we'll take the time. But if not, we'll move right on. Maybe the most challenging, the questions weren't that hard in these last two lessons. Maybe the most challenging was the difference between knowledge and revelation. Knowledge is something that you can gain through study. But you can never get revelation through study. There's only one way to get revelation, and that has to come from God. Amen. Only God can give revelation. So revelation is supernaturally given. As we talked about, no man can call Jesus the Christ but by the Holy Ghost. So only the Holy Ghost can give you that revelation. You could learn that Jesus was the Christ. You could, your parents could teach you. You could hear it on a tape. You could hear it preached. But you'll never say it unless you truly have full revelation of it. Amen. Never really say it with meaning. Sure, you can confess it with your lips, but that's not really saying it. That's not really what it's talking about. So knowledge is something gained. Revelation is given by God. So I thought it was very interesting that Brother Nathan was preaching, you know, most of my sermon this morning. He likes to do that. I was like, really? Like, you had to know, surely. But he did explain that, you know, how are you going to say that, you know, to say, you know, who's judging who and all the things that we went through this morning, you kind of have to make sure that you understand that God and Jesus are one. So, I'm going to take a little bit different of an angle, and we're gonna go through the doctrine of the Godhead and also baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because those things are together. So I omitted the questions so that we could kind of move through a little bit heavier material and something that we want to make sure that we had plenty of time to do. So, but as we always start, we can recite together, because even if you're not trying to memorize this at home, by the fifth or sixth time we've done it in church, you should have it reasonably well. So if we could together, since it is the blood of God, it is perfect blood. And if the perfect blood is loosing us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete. Amen. So it's a wonderful, wonderful little selection. So Brother Branham says, there is one God with three titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This mighty revelation is what the early church had, and it must be restored in this last day along with the correct formula of water baptism. And that's out of the Church Age book. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is that this had to be restored. And how was that restored to us? We talked about the restoration last time we did a lesson, and we talked about Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And how I said everyone should not just memorize Malachi 4, 5, but Malachi 4, 5, and 6, because 6 talks about what 5 would do. And that was to restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children to the fathers. So so that restoration, that's the days that we're living in today. As we talked about before, the time is at hand. For us, the time is at hand that the day that the restoration has come. We have the restoration. What we're speaking on here tonight is one of the things restored to us by Malachi 4. One of the things that we're speaking on tonight is one of the mysteries that are made plain to us because of Revelations 10 and 7. So this is something that we are very privileged to know and to understand. And it's a privilege for us to, you know, that the prophet saw fit to write these things down in a book. And so this is one of the very foundational, it truly is the foundational doctrine for us as believers. Amen. This is a mighty revelation. Yeah. We have got to understand who God is, because this is a relationship. Right. We are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't know who he is, you know, you get married to someone you don't really know, and suddenly things start going a little weird, and you're like, what is going on here? It's because you didn't know that person. You see, we want to know God. We want to know who He is, everything about Him. We want to know. Because we want to be in love with Him. And you can't say, oh, I love Jesus. I am in love with Jesus. Because how many Christians know to say that? I just love Jesus so much. Oh, okay. You know, what does He think about, you know, I don't know how you should dress. Does He have a preference? You know, I mean, you know, a woman's husband, you know, she, you know, I have preferences on how my wife dresses. You know, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, you're all legalistic and everything. No, no, I think she looks great in red. Just goes with her brown hair, very nice. You know, I mean, there's preferences that we have. I'm not just speaking. I'm speaking about love. There's preferences that we have. There are ways that, you know, well, no, don't wear your hair like that. I think it would look better maybe if you just did. Yes, that looks, yes. Right? And you think God is so different. You know, if at this, again, we're made in God's image. Do you think God is so different that He doesn't have preferences, that He doesn't have desires, that there aren't things about Him that we as His bride could get to know Him so well and go, oh, ah, my love likes this. You know, He doesn't like the chocolate chip cookies as much as He likes the Neiman Marcus cookies with the oatmeal in them. You know, so I'm going to make those. You see, there's things about God that we can know. And so if that is true, and it is, then we want to know who He is. And if there's so many people trying to tell us that God is three people, well, if He is, okay, then maybe we want to know that. But if He's not three people and He's only one, maybe we don't want to be talking about Him, you know. And He's like, "Lo, you know, I'm here, just me. You can talk to me. You know, no, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to your other... you over here, that's not you, but you, it doesn't really work too well." And so that's what we're going to be talking about. So you ask, why here? Why at this juncture are we talking about Godhead? Other than its foundation and we're at the very early beginning of reading through the Church Age book. But why is Brother Brandon bringing it up in the first chapter? You'd think this is something that's so, you know, maybe it's controversial in the Christian world and it's very heavy, and maybe that should be, you know, chapter 8, 9, you know, wait, you know, bring us into it. But no, he's just whopping us up the head real fast before we get to page 20 even with Godhead. Why is that? And it's because this is a foundation. And it's because of the scripture that we just read. Him which is and which was and which is to come. Who is that? Who is Him? Already God is beginning to show us His deity. And in every church age, God is going to, and we'll see this more and more as we look at things that are repeated through each age, we'll find more and more that God gives us a representation of His deity in every message to every church. God is telling us, this is who I am. I am this great one. I am He that does this, and I am He that does that. I am He. And so what he's telling us here is, at the beginning, John, this is who is talking to everyone. This is who I am. I am He which is present. I was, and I am to come. And I am to come. You see, this is so important to us. And as I was just downstairs praying, I said, Lord, this is, I think we don't understand, we understand, you know, Godhead, and yeah, that makes us different than the Pentecostals and the Baptists and things like that, but we don't understand, I think, sometimes how important this truly is, the weight and the magnitude of the doctrine of Godhead, and not only just being able to understand that God is one, but how that even applies in our lives. And Brother Nathan touched on it this morning quite a bit. And we're going to look at those things so much more, but it's so important. This truly, it's such a foundation. And if we don't have this right, then we've missed it completely. And so we really truly need to understand the Godhead and how important it is. And yes, that it's very, there's a distinction here. This is a huge distinction between us and most of the rest of the Christian world. Out of the millions and millions and millions of Christians out there, that they think, truly, this is interesting. This is a great picture. Does this picture accurately reflect the Godhead? And I wish I should have blown that up just a little bit more, but you get the idea here. We've got Jesus over here on the left with the cross, and we've got God the Father here on our right. And then, of course, we've got this light with the little, there's a dove in there. I don't know if you can quite see it there in the top. There's a dove up there. And then there's a little angel on the floor, and I don't really understand that. But just thought I'd point that out. Maybe that's the fifth seal. And we can look at this picture and go, maybe Christians don't really believe that that's truly a representation of God. And I would say, oh, really? Because I didn't draw that picture. Somebody did. I don't know who drew this picture. But there's someone in Christendom somewhere that drew this picture thinking this would be great religious art, and this would be just something that people ought to see and maybe have hanging up in their house, like we have Hoffman's Head of Christ, you know. And why is this? Because this accurately reflects the doctrine of the Trinity. And if you are a Christian today and you don't follow this message, then this is your portrayal of the Godhead. And you think, well, that's not fair. There may be people that would disagree with this. And to that I say, okay, maybe they would disagree with this. But then when you get down, we're going to understand and we're going to get down to what it's really all about. And when it's what we're going to find is it comes down to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes down to who he is. And you think, it's important. And we'll talk about why it's important. So we see this, and what I want with this picture that we see is to conceptualize that this is the Trinitarian view. And before things were restored, this is the Council of Nicaea view. And we'll talk about that more in the Pergamene age. But this, in 325 AD, this is the portrayal that they came up with as they went into Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism. This is the portrayal that's out there. And doesn't it make sense if you're going to baptize in the name of Father, the name of Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, and you have three names, it would make sense if you have three names that you would have three people, right? So that kind of makes sense. So if then that you believe that God is three, it would make sense that you would baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there's more things that we'll find that come up. But we should all know that these things will be very basic to us. As we've gone through, Brother Branham has taken this. If you've listened to any tapes at all, you've heard this. Brother Branham has taken you through this many, many times. Who was the father of Jesus? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham so often says, I thought God was his father. So was the Holy Ghost his father, or was God the Father his father? Okay. Right? Very nice. So we can see that the Father and the Holy Ghost are one, can't we? Right? Otherwise, I mean, if the Holy... We just read that the Holy Ghost was his Father. So that has to be God the Father, or why would we call him God the Father? Okay? Right? Okay. So, next. If you see Jesus, have you seen the Father? And so we can turn to John chapter 14, verses 5 through 9, but you all know this very well. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, two there. No one comes to the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, Thou then show us the Father? So when you've seen Jesus, have you seen the Father? Amen. So if they're not the same person, that's a pretty good trick, huh? And as we talked about this morning, you know, as brother woman came to Brother Branham and said, you know, my husband, you know, husband and wife are one. And he said, have you seen me? Have you seen my wife? She said, no. Well, then it's a different kind of oneness. The oneness with Jesus and the Father is if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Amen. So then Jesus and the Father are one. So a little lesson in logic. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And you thought, whoa, where did algebra come from? No, it's just logic, right? If the Father and the Holy Ghost are one, and if Jesus and the Father are one, then Jesus and the Holy Ghost are one, right? Amen. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. So if A equals B and B equals C, then A also equals C. This is how this works. So what we begin to understand, and by the way, Brother Branham says, he says it does take revelation. And to me, I think this is so plain. This is so plain. And there's so many, there's countless scriptures on it, but this is so plain. Brother Branham says it does take a revelation. He said what we read at the beginning there, it's a mighty revelation. It does take a revelation for Godhead. But baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, he says, doesn't even take revelation. It's so plain in the scriptures. So, because there's just no other, there's no other way to look at it. So, you know, we could go a long time, but what I'm going to understand, and what I don't want to cover Godhead too much more than what I've just done. We're going to cover it a little bit more in various ways, but if you read your assignment, you're going to learn Godhead. And it's just Brother Branham breaks it down so clearly and so easily that if you read it, he uses scripture after scripture. If you read it, you just pray and God will give you the revelation of Godhead if that hasn't been revealed to you yet. It's going to happen. So I want to leave most of that for him, but there are a few things that we want to look at that are maybe a little bit different than what we usually would look at. So I want to look at Revelations 5, chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. So you that brought your Bibles, I don't throw all the scriptures on the slides purposely because it's a Bible study. Not that I'm condemning Nathan for doing that or anything like that. Calm down, church, calm down, as Brother Stephen said. But I have a reason that I want you in these, I want you looking at your Bible, because you're going to be looking at your Bible as you do some of these lessons. So, Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So, who took the book and who was sitting on the throne? Well, as Brother Branham says, if you get to the end of the book and you see John and Mary lived happily ever after and you want to know who John and Mary were, he said, why don't you go to the front of the book and start reading from there? A good idea, but I wanted to throw these questions in your mind before we got to the front of the book. So let's go now to chapter 4. Where is Jesus sitting? Chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. How many sat on the throne? One that sat on the throne. Okay, that's pretty clear. He that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Who do we think this is? Jesus, God. Yeah, okay. Well, let's prove that just a little bit further. Let's go to verse 9. We've established there's a throne. There's one there. A little bit of what he looks like. Verse 9. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the four and twenty elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So the Lord is sitting on the throne. One, sitting on a throne. one Lord sitting on a throne. Right? So this is the Creator. This is God. Amen? So then as we start going through into chapter 5 then, and it says, I saw, we'll look at verse 1. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and with and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So the one sitting on the throne, this is God, he's sitting there and he's got a book in his hand. Okay? And John, we know the story, John wept because nobody could open this book. And he knew this was the book of redemption. Chapter 5, Brother Branham says, the most spiritual chapter in the Bible. Okay, and so then they say to him, don't weep because the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And he can open the book. And so then he turns to look, and as we read here, 6, 7, and 8, a lamb that was slain comes and takes the book. Who's the lamb that was slain? Jesus. So who's in the throne? Well, the Lord's in the throne, and he's got a book in his right hand, and the lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. He looked, and who's that lion of the tribe of Judah? He saw a lamb that was slain, and that lamb comes and takes the book from his right hand. Is that the picture we have? So the lamb comes and takes the book from God who's sitting on the throne. Right? Everybody confused yet? If you're not confused yet, you haven't been listening. And I have more. So let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So who was sitting in the throne? Jesus, the Lord. But the Lamb was coming and taking the book out of the right hand. Right? But Jesus is sitting down in his Father's throne. And often we think with him. Like, so there's, it's a big throne, gets kind of cozy, two people sitting there. No, one sat on the throne. But Jesus just says here, I am set down with my Father in his throne. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. This should clear some things up for us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So where's Jesus sitting? Is he at the right hand of the Father? I thought that's where the book was. Is he sitting in the throne with the Father? But there's only one that sits on the throne. This Bible is so confusing. What do we do with all these things? How do we make all this fit? Well, there's answers here. So where is Jesus sitting? I have no clue, but my head hurts now. Okay. Jesus, as we did look at this a little bit this morning, Jesus is the declaration or the expression of God. He's the manifestation of God. The only begotten Son, as John 1:18 says, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You see, God, before we were ever created, before an angel ever was created, before there was anything, there was God. He was Elohim. He was self-existing one. And God then breathes out what we know in the Greek as a logos. And that logos is the expression of God. You see, God was untouchable, was unknowable. There was no way to contact him. So God then makes an expression of himself. It's a spiritual expression, and it's known as a logos. What's the word? Logos. That's just a Greek word. It means the expression or the spirit of God. So God breathes out a logos, and this logos is his expression. And we know that by Jesus, God created the earth. That Jesus was the firstborn of creation. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Is that right? Is that what your Bible says? Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. What was the first thing that God breathed out? A logos. Who was the logos? What was the logos? It was Jesus. That was the expression of God. Jesus has always been and always will be the expression of God. Jesus is the way that we know and can contact God. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because God has to, there has to be a way that God is knowable. But let me ask you this. When God breathed out this logos, this expression of God, where was the body of Jesus? Where was the body of Jesus? Anthony's pointing to his head. Still in God's thoughts. Still in God's thoughts. You see, Jesus is now expressed. Jesus has been created because he was the beginning of the creation of God. But where's the body of Jesus? We don't have it yet. It's not here yet, is it? Okay, so we can move on. Brother Branham says, the Bible teaches that God was in Christ. The body was Jesus. And now some of you are ready to run out the door and you think, ah, leave ale doctrine. And maybe some of you don't understand that and, you know, God bless your innocence. I wish I was there too. But don't run out because you know what? Every single one of the men that we could look at maybe from 30 years ago or 40 or however long it was that we think, oh, that guy had his doctrine and Joseph Coleman had his doctrine and doctrine. Yeah. Where did they get those doctrines? Out of the Word of God. Out of the same message that you and I believe. Out of the Scriptures. Out of these things. These doctrines came out of these things. These things aren't terrible. They're not bad. It's only wrong when you go off and get on a limb and you can't reconcile it with everything else. So we don't have to be afraid of this. That the Bible teaches that God was in Christ. The body was Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the Logos, the expression of God before he created anything else, he expresses himself into a knowable, tangible way, still yet that spirit form. When God creates Adam, did he create him in a flesh form? No. But then, after he creates him, he's in spirit form, then he creates a body for him. Amen? Yeah, he did that for his son. You say, which son are you talking about, Brother Trevor, Adam or Jesus? Kind of interesting. Don't you love this? Again, symmetry in the Bible. Amen. The beautiful expressions that God puts in his word, that when we begin to really plumb it and research it and see it, and you go, it hits you and you go, wow, that's amazing. I love that. It was there all the time and we didn't know, we didn't even see it. So we begin to now understand then that God had breathed out this logos, he's now expression, but the body isn't there. Now, there is a body, isn't there? Now, after Jesus dies and he resurrects, where's the body now? It's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Right? But it's still a body, right? It's a body that wasn't there other than in God's thoughts. But that physical body was not there at the beginning. But now there's a physical body there. So you begin to see maybe a little bit plainer how that, and by the way, Brother Branham tells us that when Jesus was dying on the cross, you know, what does the Bible say that he screams out? My God, why hast thou? So was that God on the cross or was that Jesus? Jesus, the man on the cross, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, Brother Branham teaches us that God left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus, as the man, did that all without God. And Brother Branham says, you know, God can't die, so you can't put God on a cross and God die. Right? But Jesus died. Jesus, the man, died. But whose body was that? Whose blood was in those veins? Was it anybody else's? No, it couldn't be, because who created that? Who formed that? We go back to Matthew 1:18. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Whose body is this? Who created it? God. This is God's body. Just like this that you see in front of you, this body right here, it's Trevor's body. It's not Trevor, it's Trevor's body. Yeah, because Trevor owns this body. So if Trevor owns it, then it can't be Trevor. Trevor is somewhere inside. Amen? Because we're more than just this flesh. So much more. There's a soul on the inside. And so this is God's body dying on the cross for us. This is God's, literally the blood of God, dripping down from the cross that's saving our souls. Amen? So this is God. This is the body of God. But it wasn't there at the beginning. But it's here now. So you begin to understand then, those of you that got the little Lee Vail joke where you know, you would understand then that the whole Lee Vail thing, and one of the quotes that he has was, you know, Brother Branham said once, where it's not three and it's not one, but it's somewhere in between. And so they all went, huh, you know, I mean, we can all do math. You know, it's not three, it's not one, it's one somewhere in between. Well, then it's two. And so then we had this fun, like, two doctrine, kind of like we had two lords or something like that. And we get to understand that that's not correct either. So then you go, okay, it's really more like one and a half, and then you'd be a little bit closer if it's more like mathematically, but that just really doesn't work for you either. Right. But what we begin to understand, and the key there is, where was the body at the foundation before the foundation of the world? Wasn't there. But now it's an expression. Now that logos is now expressed fully into a body. Amen? So as that body is walking around, this is literally all of God walking on the face of this earth. Oh, how to have stood next. Can you imagine? To have been Peter and stood next to him. This is almighty God walking around in body. Fullness of the Godhead bodily, right? Is that what your Bible says? It's what my Bible says. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that expression of God, As there at the beginning, God is unknowable, untouchable. He expresses himself in a logos. Now that logos fully goes, and God manifests a body. He creates a body, puts it in the virgin womb of Mary, and then that logos fully inhabits that body. And then that body dies and it's resurrected. And guess how we know who? Guess how we're going to experience God from here on out? Jesus. We're going to know God because of Jesus. When we look and try to find God, we're going to find Jesus. When we go and we want to bow before the throne, who's sitting in the throne? It's Jesus. It's the body. The expression of God. But as we look at here, and well, before I get there, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's just break this down a little bit more. Let's contrast and compare Jesus and Melchizedek. Now, we all understand Melchizedek and who that was. And Brother Branham tells us that God, he grabbed some elements and he blew and he went, and he created a body, and he went and stepped into that body. And he did the same thing for Gabriel and Michael, I believe it was. Is that correct? Gabriel and Michael? And they inhabit these three bodies, and they go to Abraham, and God, again, the first time, the fullness of God, standing there in a flesh body, talking to his son Abraham. And you say, was that different somehow than Jesus? Yes, it was. Yes, it absolutely was very different than Jesus. How was it different than Jesus? Did Melchizedek, that body that God just created those elements, put them on the earth, stepped into that? Did that body have any choices? Did that body have its own spirit? No. This was just a flesh that God created so he could step into it and use it to speak to his son. But this other, it was a man, it was flesh and blood. He sat there and ate. He could tell what was going on in the tent behind him. But was it the same as Jesus? No. No, it wasn't. Because God created a body. Jesus had choices. God created a son to set him here on this earth, to go through the same things, was in all points tempted as you and I were. Melchizedek was never tempted. He didn't have that temptation. But Jesus had those temptations, yet without sin. He never sinned, but yet he had to have all those temptations because he had to be a kinsman redeemer. So to me, this is such a great way to understand that Jesus isn't just a body that God throws here on the earth, but this was in God's plan all from the very, very beginning, because he knew he'd have to come and be a kinsman redeemer. He knew he'd want to come and experience life just as you and I, so that we could have this relationship, so that he could know what it was like to be you and I, so that he could know what we went through. He could sit there and go, "Oh, honey, I know, I understand. I was there too. I know what that's like." See, Melchizedek couldn't do that. And to me, this is a fine distinction, because we begin to understand that Melchizedek's body, if God just created it, I don't know what happened to it after God goes and steps out of it. I assume that it disintegrated, or God, or it died, or I'm not sure. I don't really know how that works. Back to dust. I mean, that's three preachers agree on the platform. Write that down. How often does that happen? So, to me, this distinction really helped me understand the Godhead so wonderfully, because I understood that now God has created a body, and that body is more than just a body that he can relate to you and I in, but that body had a purpose. That body was God's blood. That body was God's flesh. And that body would not just go back to the dust, but would resurrect and sit there in the throne of God. And that body would be the expression of God that you and I would know for the rest of eternity. Amen. So we have one God who manifests himself in the form of Jesus. So now we want to kind of wrap up some of these questions that we looked at. Now, the Lamb was here, and that's Jesus, and he was taking the book out of the one that sat there and had it in his right hand, but Jesus is sitting with his Father in the throne, but yet he's over here also getting the book, from him, but yet he's also sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And so where is Jesus sitting? But what we have to understand, and what we're going to begin to look at and to see is that many of these things that we're looking at, they're word pictures. They're types. They're ways so we can understand what God is doing. And it's not throwing out that God is, he's one here and there's one here. But we do understand that God is sitting in the throne, but yet there's a body that is Jesus that died for you, that became the Lamb of God, and that body was the one that was worthy to come and take the book out of the one that sat on the throne. I said the one that sat on the throne. That body was the one that paid that purchase price so that you could have your redemption, because there was John weeping, saying, "Nobody's worthy. Nobody can take the book. And if nobody can take the book, then we're all lost." But there was one that came, and he breathed out a body. He put the body there in that virgin womb of Mary. And that body was the expression of God. And that body lived a perfect life. And so when he resurrects, now he's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is everything, but yet now he is worthy. That body is worthy to go and take the book out of the one that sits on the throne. You say, now, okay, so who was sitting in the throne? Well, yes, it was Jesus sitting in the throne. But what we're trying to understand is the concept that there is God, and God has a body, and that body has done things. Do we understand? See, it's not three and it's not one. It's kind of two, but it's not. It's somewhere in the middle there, because that body is God, but he's sitting in the throne, but yet he's representing one who can come on our behalf and be that kinsman redeemer. So I hope, does that clear it up? Does that make sense to everyone? You see, we have God, but somewhere around 4 BC, God made an expression of a body. And that body is now going to be with us throughout all eternity. Amen? So the body can pray to God. The body can talk about my father. Because he was a man just like you and I. And as Brother Branham says, you know, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, who was he praying to? Well, when you pray, who are you praying to? As Brother Nathan read the quote, she is him. You know, I mean, okay, are you a part of God or not? And that's what we're about to just get into here real quick. Are you a part of God or not? Well, if you are a part of God, when you kneel down on your knees and pray, who are you praying to? You know, look, don't worship yourself here, but understand that there's a God that he put inside of you. Amen. And that's very important. So we're going to get into that. Holy man, holy men, will the real Holy One please stand up? Lesson number 6, we've gone through Godhead. Now we want to apply some of these things that we just read. So what makes someone holy? Are you holy? How long have I been talking? I don't know. We'll try to finish. Wow, really? 20 minutes. I'll take 20 minutes. Hope that's okay. Are you holy? Is any other man holy? What makes a man holy? What is holiness in a man? Let's think about holiness. So if you were Moses there on this mountain and the burning bush is there and you're on Mount Sinai and God says to Moses, take off your shoes, so this is holy ground. So if we were to go to Mount Sinai today and stand in the same spot, should we take off our shoes? Is it holy ground? So how about the Ark of the Covenant that holds the tablets of the Ten Commandments? If you're near where that is that holy? Is that holy? So the Israelites, they thought there's a story in the Bible where the Israelites are fighting the Philistines, and they think, you know what, we're going to get the Ark of the Covenant, and we're going to let the Ark of the Covenant go before us, and then we will defeat the Philistines. And the Philistines are actually scared because they knew what God had done to the Egyptians and things like that. But then they decide, you know what, come on, just be men, let's go fight anyway. And, you know, they take the Ark. Because the ark didn't help them because the Israelites were sinning at the time. And so just bringing out your holy ark isn't really going to help, because anytime we try to bring out our holy stuff, but there's sin in our hearts, it doesn't really work, does it? Why? Because the thing isn't holy. What is holy? Who is holy? God is holy. Amen? So the conclusion that we come to is that the presence of God is where holiness is. The reason that's holy ground there with Moses is because God was there. The reason that the Ark of the Covenant, you know, that the priest could only go in once a year and all the rituals that they had to go through or he's going to die, was because the presence of God was there. And if the presence of God would have been in the camp of the Israelites when they took the ark and went to fight the Philistines, I guarantee you that the story reads differently. But the presence of God wasn't there because they had already rejected him. They'd already been sinning. They'd already been doing things that displeased God, so he wasn't there. So the ark of the covenant that it's death to go into in that sanctuary, yet it does nothing for them. Why? Because it's about God being there. That's what makes something holy. So Brother Branham says in the message, hear ye him, this was a special occasion. Peter, later on in life, referred to it as the Holy Mount. Now, I don't believe that the apostle meant the mountain was holy, because it was just a mountain. Battles had been fought there and everything. It wasn't a holy mountain, but it was a holy God on the mountain, not the holy mountain. This is, he's speaking of the Mount Transfiguration right now. So it wasn't a holy mountain, it's a holy God on the mountain, not the holy mountain. We hear so much today about the holy church or the holy people. There's no holy church or holy people. It's the Holy Ghost in the people that makes the holiness. It's not the holy church or the holy people. It's the Holy Ghost in the church. You see, it's the presence of God in the church that makes them holy. So if you want the presence of God, okay, great. So then you really need to understand that God is one, don't you? Because If it's not one, then who do you have? Which presence do you want? Do you want the presence of God the Father? Do you want the presence of Jesus? Or do you want the presence of the Holy Spirit? It doesn't work. You've got to understand that if you want God in your midst, He's one God. Amen. Amen? And He, it's His presence is what makes us holy, because He is the Holy One. So how do we get into that? How can we have that Holy Spirit on the inside of us to make us holy? And this will all wrap up here pretty quick. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. One Spirit. In the message, The Rapture, Brother Branham preaches on this, and if you've been to VGR and seen the notes from The Rapture that they have up on the wall, I just love it because it so succinctly puts it. It's like, how do we get into the rapture? And he's like, 1 Corinthians 12:13. I'm like, praise God. So simple. So simple. Be baptized into the body. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Who was that speaking? This is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm coming. How did he come? As the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit and Jesus the same? Yes. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Okay, this is Jesus coming to you as the Holy Spirit. How are you receiving the Holy Spirit? By being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins. 2 and 2 equals 4. More math happens every single time. If you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you were truly repented of your sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Happens every single time. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, it's the Holy Spirit in your life that makes you holy. Brother Branham says, if you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will fill you with his Holy Spirit. That is the word. Acts 19:6, which we read, was the fulfilling of Acts 2:38. Acts 19:6 being rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, Paul by the Holy Ghost said exactly what Peter said by the Holy Ghost. And what was said cannot be changed. It has to be the same from Pentecost until the very last elected one has been baptized. Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This will never change. Peter agreed with it. Paul agreed with it. The entire scripture agreed with baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we supposed to be holy? It's the Holy Spirit in you that makes you holy. And being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very important first step. So again, we look at this. If God is one, then how many names does he have? He has one name. He has one name. Again, it makes sense. If God is like that picture we looked at, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, makes sense. Little angel guy, you know, these things make sense. You would baptize that way. But if you understand that God is one, then you would baptize in one name. You see, I want to pick on Brother Daniel. So, because, you know, when we're doing Bible study, I pick on Eli all the time, so I want you to know what it's like for him. So if you say, what's in a name? Is it important that we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, or is this just mincing words? You know, Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Peter said to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, does this really matter? Are we mincing words and missing the real thing that we all should just love Jesus? Is that what we're, I mean... Anybody ever been told that before? Yeah. If not, you need to... No, don't get out more. I've been told that. You're mincing words. It's not a big deal. Okay. It's not a big deal. That's fine. Daniel, what's your wife's name? Ashley. Daniel's wife's name is Ashley. And so if Daniel, you know, while they were dating, if Daniel were to have, you know, perhaps... was there a girlfriend before Ashley? No. Okay. I know they were dating rather young, but let's just say maybe there was another girl before Ashley, and so then that didn't work out, and so Daniel and Ashley started dating, and then, you know, Daniel comes over to their house and was just like, "Hey, Rebecca, how are you?" And not this Rebecca, but just it's just the first name that came to my mind. That was, you know, Daniel's girlfriend, you know, his mythical girlfriend that we're all understanding that he had before Ashley. And he came over to Ashley's house and he said, "Hey, Rebecca, how are you?" And he was like, "I mean, Ashley." And you say, "What's in a name? What's in a name? I mean, it doesn't really matter, right?" And Daniel's like, "Ashley, I'm sorry. It's just, what's in a name? You know, you're a beautiful young lady that I am interested in, and your name doesn't really matter, does it?" Now, Ashley, does that work for you? No, it doesn't work for Ashley. What's that? It doesn't work for you either. Yeah. Daddy doesn't even like that. Seriously, boy? You can't even remember her name. And you want me to believe that you're in love with her. Maybe you're in love with her eyes. Maybe you're in love with her hair. Or you know, the cookies that she makes. But if you can't even come up with her name, can you really, really, really tell me that you love her? Maybe he's not even just, you know, interposing names there and calling her a name that's not hers, but maybe he just, you know, he comes over one day and he's just like, "Hey, it's coming. Ashley." Does he love her? No, he doesn't. What's in a name? What is in a name? I mean, why do we mince words like that? And why don't we just love God? You see, you know, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, his actual name, that doesn't matter. What matters is that, obviously you understand I'm being sarcastic here. What matters is that we just love God and that we're baptized. Really, really. Well, Ashley isn't happy with that doctrine. So I got one convert. And if the rest of you are honest, you all get it. You all understand right now that if you don't address someone by their name, they'll get offended. Our name talks about who we are. It's our identity. And when you're gonna identify with God, there's only one way you're gonna identify with God, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's his name. That's who he is. He is the Lord. His name is Jesus, and he is the anointed Christ. It's not just baptizing in Jesus. You know, No, it's not that way. That's what the oneness did. And Brother Ram says, "No, that's wrong. There's many Jesuses. But there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. And it's important that we identify with his name. Why? Because it's a relationship. It's a relationship that we have with God. Look, if you have three gods, then he's got three names. But if you have one God, then he's got one name. And if you believe that God is one, then he's going to have one name. And you're going to identify with his name. And you're going to say, "I'm Mrs. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." That's not what we say. Amen. How about this one? "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So what does most of Christendom do? They build schools. In what name do they build schools? They build schools in the name of Jesus. "We're here in the name of Jesus to build you a school. We're here in the name of Jesus to build you a hospital. We're here in the name of Jesus to do this good deed or that good deed, to walk the little old ladies across the street in the name of Jesus, to serve you coffee in the name of Jesus." Don't believe me? Just up the road a little ways, you know, come out Silver Street, turn right, it's called Charlestown Road, drive down a little ways, just past Meyer, hang a right, little place, coffee shop. What do? They have this scripture on the back of their t-shirts. Maybe not anymore, but they used to. They're serving you coffee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they're Christians. And this is what the Bible says to do. Do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I serve you coffee, church, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ too. And isn't that amazing that they'll build hospitals and schools and all of these things and serve coffee. And then you say, I want to be baptized. And they say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you say, what? But I want to do, no, we're doing it the way Jesus said to do it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's how we do things here. You serve me coffee in Jesus' name, but you get real nasty when I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make any sense to anyone? No, it doesn't make sense. But it's going to make sense. It's going to make sense because we're going to identify the spirit that gets them, that doesn't mind. They'll serve you coffee. The devil doesn't care if they serve you coffee in the name of Jesus Christ. But baptism means that you're being buried. I'm not Trevor Eamon anymore, but I'm going to come up as Mrs. Jesus Christ. I'm not coming up as Mrs. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but I'm coming up as Mrs. Jesus Christ because that's His name. Because Ashley is Mrs. Daniel Cooley, not Mrs. Eli's dad. Because He cares about His name too. And our Father cares about His name. And when he expresses Himself as His Son and He says, you're going to marry that son, who are you going to marry? Jesus Christ. Who are you going to be baptized into? Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not mincing words. This is everything. And I'll throw another one on you just before I finish up here. I'll throw another one on you. If you just look around at any of the Christian denominations, and you look at how they baptize, then you look at how they dress. And this is just I'm not including Amish and Mennonite, because that's just different. But if you look at Pentecost, the ones that baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ versus the ones that baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The ones that baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ still believe in holiness. The ones that baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost don't. Generally, Trevor's observation only, very informal poll. You understand? But you can begin to understand, and this is one of the things that we're going to learn as we truly dive into things like Nicolaitanism, and as we dive into the spirit of denomination, as we dive into what the Nicene Council was and the things that we're really going to get into. But what you begin to understand is once you leave off the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, once you leave off that God is one, does it matter how you dress? Who are you marrying? You've married your denominational system that told you God was three. You've married your denominational system that told you to baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're going to become Mrs. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter. You don't even know your own husband. How do you know how he wants you to dress? It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, church, Godhead means having a revelation of the Godhead, understanding baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a big deal. It's a big deal because it identifies us with a person, with the one who sits in the throne. Amen? So, just a little recap, a few words that we've been studying together, come together for us. Creed. Trinitarian Christians are following their creed, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, not the Word. Godhead, the doctrine of Godhead, which we find in the Word of God, teaches us to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because God is one. Revelation, aren't you thankful that God can reveal these things to us, that we truly know? We should pray for revelation more than anything. Musicians can come. Brother Branham says, here just to kind of wrap this up, That's why no man can ever come along and say the holy man is a pope or the holy man is a bishop or priest. The holy man is Christ, the Holy Spirit in us. How dare the hierarchy declare that the laity has no word to say? Each one has something to say. Each one has a work. Each has a ministry. So why do we end with this? Well, what is the, and Brother Nathan touched on this some this morning, what is the eventual result of having the Holy Spirit in your life? If you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the end result? You have the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? He lives his life through you. He does things that God would do on this earth as what he did when he was Jesus Christ walking on this earth. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, do you? Okay, you have a sinful flesh. He had a sinless one. But otherwise, you have a portion of the Godhead. He had the fullness. But what can you do with that portion? So much. There's so much power in just a portion of God. And, you know, I mean, used to have people say, you know, oh, I don't know if I agree with you being a minister, Brother Trevor, and things like that. And it's like, oh, that's nice. That's fine. Okay. Okay, what about this quote right here? Let's not talk about me for a moment. Who cares if I stand behind a pulpit or not? I'm not standing behind one now. Does that matter? You know? Who cares whether I'm preaching from behind a pulpit or I'm preaching in the parking lot or wherever, you know? What is it that you're doing? Because you have the Holy Ghost. What's your ministry? What are you supposed to be doing? What is God doing through your life? If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy One in you. That's what this is about. We understand that the Holy One, he's one God. He's got one name, and we want to identify with that name. And then we become Mrs. Jesus Christ. We become, you know, look at your shoes right now. Everybody just look at your shoes. God walks in those shoes. God is doing something today in those shoes. And it all starts with Godhead. It starts with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is everything here. And it comes all the way down, and it's not just message theory. It's not just a bunch of theological mumbo jumbo that we've covered tonight. But this is God revealing himself to us, who he is, so that we can know him, so that we can have a relationship. Because you got to know his name. You got to know who he is before you can have a relationship with him. And Daniel and Ashley proved that to us. So, what are you doing? What are you doing? Each one has something to say. Each one has a work. Each has a ministry. What's your ministry? I'm standing behind a pulpit preaching on the church age book now. But what's your ministry? What are you doing? Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for these things. The revelation that you've given to us in our day is amazing, Lord. It's thrills our hearts to know that you would express yourself in a logos, come down as a kinsman redeemer to be able to take the book. Oh God, how wonderful you are. And I just thank you, Lord, that we can know you, that we can know your name. That's a blessing, Lord, just to even know your name. Oh God, we love you so much. Come and fill us now, Lord. Fill our hearts and fill us with revelation, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. If there's some that here that haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I pray that this little sermon would speak to their hearts about identifying with you, that they'd know you personally, Lord God. So, Lord, come and dwell with us now. Dwell in our hearts. Make these things real to us. Lord, let it not just be theology, but let our doctrine, Lord. Lord, let our doctrine be a reality in our hearts and our lives, Lord. Let it change our lives. We love you, Lord God. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've talked about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just sing, There's Power in the Name of Jesus, to break every chain. I have no idea what key.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
And you can't sing this sitting down.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Oh, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
What name is it?
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain.
There's healing.
There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's love.
There is love in the name of Jesus.
Oh, it's the name above every name.
In the name of Jesus. There is love in the name. Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, to break every chain, oh, break every chain.
There's power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I can feel my chains are falling. Oh, I can feel every chain of doubt and unbelief is falling. Oh, I can feel all my chains are falling. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army that's rising up. Oh, there's an army that's rising up. I know God's army, it's rising up. We can break every chain. How? Through Him. Break every chain. Lord, help us break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I can feel all my chains are falling. Oh, I can feel every chain that bound me down, they're falling. Lord, I can feel all our chains, they're falling. Oh, Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, 'cause there's still power, and it's in the name of Jesus.
come and break every chain. There's still healing tonight. If you're sick in body, there's still healing in the name. There's healing. Oh, it's in the name. No other name under heaven. Oh, but there's still healing. And it's in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Oh, come and break every chain. Oh, why don't you just reach up to him and accept it tonight. Whatever the need, there is healing, and it's in the name. He said, I'm the God that healeth all thy diseases. Healing in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen and amen. You love him tonight? Amen. What a blessed people that we are. Amen. Just wanted to read a couple things here tonight before we close. Brother Trevor already read it tonight. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the book, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. That's chapter 5, verse 1. So we find out that they're talking to this one that created all things, and there he is sitting on the throne. So we believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But if we go over to John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. That Greek word there for the Word is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So if they're not the same person, we have a problem. I almost did this Wednesday night, and you know, sometimes I think, well, that's silly, and I shouldn't do that, and so I just stopped from doing whatever it was. And I wish so badly now that I had done it because of the spiritual representation that I thought of tonight. You know, when I started having services in the home, me and Rebecca and the boys, before Ruth was born, I was the song leader, I was the musician, I was the deacon, I was the trustee, I was the pastor, I was the janitor. I did it all. So it was a lot of different titles, but it was one person, one name that was doing it. Since then, God's blessed us with some wonderful brothers, wonderful deacons, wonderful trustees, wonderful musicians, wonderful song leaders and Sunday school teachers, and just on and on and on. So I don't have to fill all those roles now. And so usually during a service, what takes place is, you know, Brother Trevor did it tonight, and a lot of times I'll do it just right away. I'll take off my coat, and I'll usually hand it, if Brother Layton's here, I'll hand it to him, or if Brother Furman's here, I'll hand it to him. And so Sunday, or Wednesday night rather, Brother Layton couldn't be here, so he wasn't up here. And Brother Furman was running late for church, and so he couldn't be here, so I was the song leader. And when I went to take off my coat, Brother Trevor, there wasn't anybody over there, and so I was going to do this. I was going to take the coat from my right hand of the pastor and go over and say, thank you, and take it in the left hand of the song leader. And I thought, oh, that'd be silly to do that. But I was the pastor and the song leader. Two different titles, two different offices, but the same person. Amen. So I thought that'd be a good visual for you tonight to see. Amen. That the pastor took the coat from his right hand and handed it to the song leader. Now, if it had been Brother Furman, it wouldn't have been a spiritual type because it had been a different person. Amen. But at Wednesday night, it would have been a perfect spiritual type. So, amen. God bless you. We appreciate what Brother Trevor had on his heart to bring to us tonight. Certainly enjoyed it. Here, I'm going to hand it to the deacon for right now. I wanted us to sing this tonight. I had it on my heart through the whole
through the whole service there as Brother Trevor was preaching. And I think we sang it Wednesday night, so we'll try it again. And let's just worship the Lord together. Amen. You may not know it yet, but help me sing what you do know, and we'll have the words up here, Lord willing, to help you. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Oh, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of... Oh, let's try it again. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Oh, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, the Logos, one with God the Lord, one with God. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. Oh, nothing compares with this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, he's worthy of our worship tonight. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. For nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, what could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of Jesus Christ.
It's the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name. Oh, if he'd just been a man, he couldn't do all these things. Oh, but death could not hold you. The grave door before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Oh, the heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. Lord, you have no rival. Lord, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Oh, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is that name above all names. What a What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Oh, we worship you tonight, Father. Oh, what a powerful name it is. Oh, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. All hell can't stand against it. Were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Oh, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you heaven down. Lord, my sin was great, your love was greater. So what could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Name it is. Oh, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and he's the only one who cares and understands. Shadows, you will find him. What did Fanny Crosby say? And I'll know him by
His name. Let's sing it again together tonight. Yes, standing somewhere in the shadows, maybe the shadow of your trial, maybe the shadow of the valley of death, whatever it would be. He's the only one who cares and understands. Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find me. And you'll know him by the name. Sing it that way again together. Sing it this way tonight. For without him I could do nothing, and without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be driven thankful for that name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you tonight. If you don't have one of these, one of the church age book study guides, you can get those. The deacons should have them in the back free of charge if you want to take one of those with you tonight to study over and do the assignments. Brother Trevor said to mention it's assignments for lesson 5 and 6 over these next couple of weeks to do. So want to keep that in mind. Go through the church age book and read it. It'll do you good. And just enjoying this study that we're having together. Appreciate the presence of the Lord here tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Furman, if he would, just to come and lead us in a word of prayer before we are dismissed. Maybe we'll sing one more song as we go, but just going to invite him to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you came and met with us tonight. Your sweet spirit coming here and gracing us with your presence. We should truly be the happiest people in the world. We're so blessed beyond measure. We have our ups and downs and our valleys and our mountains. But if we just start counting our blessings quickly, we can see that the good outweigh the bad. And we have a promise through your word, Lord. We believe that we're going to spend eternity together with you. And it will all be worth it, Lord. Thank you for the leadership here at our church, Brother Nathan, Lord, Brother Trevor, each minister here, Lord, that gives of their time and studies the word and is sensitive to your leading. And thank you for the word that you gave us. Thank you for sending us a prophet in this day, Lord. Where would we be without this word that you've given us? We love you, Lord. I pray that you bless each one that can hear my voice, Lord, and the bride around the world as they go forth and in Laodicea, that we can rise above, Lord, and tell someone about you. Help us to live a life that they can see you in us. I pray that you grant each one grace and strength as they go through their weekly grind, Lord, and work. I pray that we can meet back here again on Wednesday night, unless you come in the morning. We'd love to go home, Lord. We're looking for you. I pray that you lead and guide us from this place, Lord, never from your presence. We thank you for your many blessings. Meet the needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I didn't have anything on my heart to sing except all the songs they sang about Jesus. So I guess we'll make the devil mad with this little chorus before we go. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff. God bless you. You can go. That don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome.